here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and I want to thank you for your patience and today, Addy, because, you know, I'm sorry I was late getting up here. It was pulled pork.
Pulled pork? Really?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
Mm. Sandwich.
Sandwich?
No, I'm kidding. You were masturbating.
Oh. And you ate it?
That was the sauce. Anyways.
Well.
But we don't talk about that. We talk wrestling.
We talk wrestling. Well, the real reason you were late is that you'd actually picked up someone on the way.
That's true. That's true. Because this guy's a local guy.
Yes.
Everybody knows. Goldust. Here in Calgary. Of course, he lives here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be on our show today with us, and it's going to be, every now and then, he's just going to, if he has something to say, he's just going to jump in with what he's saying.
I guess,
before.
He doesn't want
to
be.
Yeah, he doesn't want us to interrupt the flow of the show, so we won't throw to him too much. He's just kind of, every now and then, he's just going to start, he says, when he's got something he wants to tell us, it'll be important enough, he'll jump in.
And he is eating. He's giving us a thumbs up right now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, let's kick off and start. I started off writing a big story of the week. When it happened, I thought, and then there ended up being quite a few. And but we could start at the top with Payback.
Yeah, let's just start at Payback. Because we were talking last week, we were like, oh, our show will be better than Payback. We're like, pretty good card, not much of a build.
Yeah.
And then I had a chance to watch it before you, and I'm like, and you're like, so is it worth watching? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put it this one. I'm never, ever going to not watch live a show with the Chicago crowd ever again.
Yeah.
And I want to attend a Chicago pay-per-view. Like, it was a great, great crowd.
It was. And that helped. I mean, the matches themselves were good. And in some cases, they were brought up by the...
Well, it's the same thing. It's like the matches get better because you're performing in front of a hot crowd. And the hot crowd makes the matches better because they're excited, so you feel it. So it's like it feeds into each other, right?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like, and some of the...
It was a really terrific show. It was like a really very good pay-per-view.
Well, I mean, you start at the top with the Intercontinental Championship match. This is predicted, Curtis Axel.
We start with the top, Sheamus 1-2-3.
Oh, yeah. Wow,
It's a pay-per-view.
Three-minute match?
I think it was probably closer to about 7 minutes. It's actually a little longer.
I didn't see that one, to be honest.
It was decent. The thing is, it's continuing. It wasn't like that feud is continuing, and this is reminiscent of when they have Bret Hart feuding with a doctor and Hakushi and all this and a pirate. It's like it's a former world champion. You're keeping him in an angle because he needs to actually have an angle because he's too big to just be around.
Yeah.
But you don't have anything for him.
Yes. Shockingly, creative does not have anything for him.
Yeah. So it's like he's just sitting there filling up the mid card
with his mind on his money and his money on his mind.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, again, there'll become a point where he'll be pushed back up to the top of the card, probably before WrestleMania again, or near the top of the card.
Mick!
What?
That's Goldust. I don't understand what it is.
Anyway. You have something more to say, or is it, that's it? Okay, he had something to say. Okay.
All right,
Goldust, I appreciate that. But, yeah, I mean, so Shane used to have 1-2-3 as we expect, but this dude must continue.
Yeah, the feud must continue as evidence on Raw with a 2-on-1, thankfully.
And
I mean,
SmackDown as well, where it was Cody again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. But, I mean, okay, so that feud continues, whatever. I mean, yeah, you're right, it's something to do. Intercontinental title, it said. Curtis Axel, Intercontinental Champion.
Better match than I expected, but I like the pin.
I love the finish, yeah. With the pinning in the figure four there, getting the 1-2-3.
I mean, Wade Barrett is being made between this Raw and SmackDown made to be a complete geek.
Yeah, which makes me think he's winning Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, and the story of the sons of one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time winning the Intercontinental Championship on Father's Day, when he held the belt up and looked to the sky, said something, that was a moment as well.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, it was not a heel moment.
And he wasn't a heel in the match. Chicago liked Curtis Axel.
Yeah.
Popped for the perfect plex, popped for the, he does the kick the legs flip. yep. now. Yep. And I've seen him do the couple things, the running leapfrog and the snap mare deal, which, hey, you know what? No one's stolen those moves.
No.
So, fuck, why not? I mean, they're all great.
Agree.
So
agree.
It's just, I mean, do it. But, yeah, I mean, even the...
he can't bump like his dad, but he's doing a good job.
He is. He's doing a good job. I mean, and again, I mean, it's hard. It really is. I mean, it's who's as good as Kurt Hennig, right? I mean,
Owen Hart.
Let alone the son. I mean, well, who around now? I mean, is as great as, you know what I mean? Like, so it's hard, right? It's really,
yeah,
really difficult.
There's a couple, but not many.
Yeah, and
I mean, AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, maybe Seth Rollins.
Yeah, yeah. Roman Reigns. No, wait. But
Stevenson. Kind of top of my list, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe Joe.
Maybe Joe. Yeah. You know, Divas match.
Yeah.
AJ, the new Divas champion.
And you're expecting a horrible match, and it's not bad. It's like a 2.5-star match.
Yeah.
Which is 1.5-star better than I expect, right?
Yeah. That kiss spot, I thought was good. I like kind of the angle where they're going, where now Caitlyn's turning psycho.
Yeah, it's pretty special, but the other thing is, and it is, everybody hates AJ, right, is the other angle.
Right.
I mean, that was always played out more on Raw, but, I mean, that's the other thing, right? Everybody hates AJ.
Yes, yes. Thanks. Well, and with the thing with AJ, well, the thing with AJ is that the one benefit, and you know more than I, me more than yourself with the nostalgia of the old stars coming back onto Raw. I get a little bit more of a kick out of it than you do in most cases. But, I mean, you had to pop. AJ's doing the promo, and Johnny Gonzalez comes out and just runs down AJ on Raw.
We'll get into it later.
But that had to be, like, a great moment for you.
That was a great moment.
But I like the kiss spot. There, I'm just trying to think of anything. And then when Layla comes out.
And the crowd's chanting to hug, out.
And they're booing her, and yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, the crowd, it was a bizarre loud crowd.
Yeah, I thought then the U.S. title match was a shitty count-out finish.
Well, it's to set up the next thing, right?
It is, but I don't know, I just, whatever, you know. It was there, and I mean, it was...
They're continuing Kane and Ambrose.
So. They are. But, yeah, I don't know. And I know, I realize that it's 2000.
They had enough good matches and enough clean finishes that it didn't matter.
Well, not yet, though. That was the thing. I mean, you will. And in the hindsight of this, it didn't matter.
At the moment,
I was like, oh, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So, then we get to the World Heavyweight title match.
Actually, my favorite match of the night. This is awesome.
The double turn.
Yeah.
And you had texted me that.
Yeah.
To tell me they did a double turn. So I'm watching it, and I didn't know how much of it was a double. They did a double turn. I was wondering if it was a double turn, if it was just the crowd, if that's what you were alluding to, is the crowd. Because you knew that the crowd was going to be Ziggler, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the announcers, the whole way it played out, everything. I mean, they paid the promo afterwards, you know.
Well,
and
yeah, I mean,
next
the way
night,
Cole is doing it and the way JBL is, you know, talking about the guys and their actions. And again, Del Rio was so relentless in the hits to the head. And people thought, like, the next day I had a Twitter conversation with somebody who was like, what are they doing? I mean, now he's hurt again. They, you know, I mean, they want another Benoit situation. What are they doing with Ziggler letting Del Rio, ADR do all those? And I'm like, it's just a storyline. He's selling.
Yeah.
Be very careful with him. Del Rio is a very safe worker. You know, has that reputation. I'm like, it's the storyline. She's like, no, it's not the storyline. He's supposed to have a rematch tonight. And now it's on WWE.com that he's being pulled for it again. I said, yes, and that's part of the storyline. But people really, they did such a good job. People actually were worried about Ziggler again.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Tell me a lie.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. And it's fine. AJ is still alive, right? So it's like you don't have another one of those situations. But, and we all, and then with the phones now, with that GPS built in, like, we know what Dolph Ziggler's physical location is at all times. So it's good.
Hopefully he doesn't own any dogs.
Well, he does. He's got two dogs, Rex and Daniel.
Mm.
But when Ziggler missed the Famaster,
yeah,
and JBL called him on it, I thought that was really good. That's something that, you know, that for a while they used to just cover up and ignore, where that was one of the things that Gorilla Monsoon, you know, oh, I didn't get all of that, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, you know, so I did think that. The only thing, I mean...
Well, JBL's very good.
Yes. And I get... I don't hate the whole Ziggler losing the title.
I kind of figured he was going to lose the title if he hadn't got hurt. Just when he got hurt, I thought they'd keep it longer. But it's okay.
Yeah, I know. And then and there's a company that did the chase, and they don't exist anymore. Because that ain't a WWF thing.
What the hell are you talking about?
The babyface chase.
Babyface chase has been part of the WWF forever.
When? Since when?
How about The Rock chasing, or Austin chasing The Rock for several months?
Yes, okay, several months. That to me, that's winning the Royal Rumble and getting a match. That's
the
not
babyface always wins the Royal Rumble and gets the match.
I don't consider that a chase, though. To me,
that always is. I mean, it's the Austin chase. Austin chases the Undertaker. Austin chased, you know, he didn't get the title, but he chased the Undertaker. Austin chased actually quite a bit. Actually, if you look at it, Austin was a multi-time world champion. He didn't actually hold the belt at any point very long. He was always screwed out of it and had to get it back. And
yes.
Nobody's going to run it
and Austin. That's true. That's true. But that's also the thing that we talk about in hindsight that, you know, we like to see missing. To me, I mean, I just think that a baby face holds the title. I understand with the Ziggler situation. It's just, again, and it's only the World Heavyweight Championship, which is essentially
the Intercontinental. Hulk Hogan held the title for what, 4 years?
Yes, 4 years.
4 years?
4 years,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the last run of that length that we saw.
That's true. It generally was an 8-month run. You used to get that. You're right. I mean, you used to get babyface win at the Royal Rumble.
They weren't defending the title as much as they used.
No, you're right. You're right. Which again, but you could argue that too.
But it's a different one. But it's a different era. I mean, they just have to fill so much TV too, right? I mean, I don't mind that. Like, I don't mind Ziggler getting the title. I mean, like I said, I mean, I look at it. There's been a lot of times there was a chase. There's been a lot of times that Cena's been chasing. There's been a lot of times, you know, whatever. I mean, there is, you know, it can work, and they have done it regularly. You say it's not a WWE thing, but it really is. But
historically, it's not a WWE.
Well, it's not a WWE 80s thing.
It's not a WWE 90s. Even in the 90s, the guy got the title. As I said, the heel won the title at the Survivor Series. The babyface won it at WrestleMania and held it at the Survivor Series. It was always 8 months reign. You look at Diesel. Got it a little longer, actually, because he won it just after the Survivor Series. But you look at Shawn Michaels, you look at Bret Hart, all these guys, you got that.
Bret Hart lost it and waited a year to get it back, right?
Yokozuna did get
it. It wasn't a chase. It was actually Lex Luger's chase,
yes.
You know, it didn't come to fruition.
I was going to say, that's not helping your argument, too. Let's bring up Lex Luger. But no, I mean, I just looked at it like it was all, WWF's always been a babyface champion thing, for the most part.
Really hasn't been since. I mean, it really hasn't been.
No, since Hunter come around. And
well, basically,
Hunter's just been through the roof since then.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Since the Attitude Era.
Yeah, exactly. Since the Attitude Era. And then that's the last time business was really good.
But even the Attitude Era wasn't like a baby face thing. Like I said, there's a lot of other people that, I mean, there was a heel Undertaker with the title, there was a heel Triple H with the title, a heel Big Show with the title. Like there was, you know.
Well, Big Show was babyface.
The first time he won.
My daddy.
Yeah, but then he was.
My daddy.
That time he was.
Yeah.
But he was
and that was only, what, that was only like 2 months or 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
But, no, and that, but again, that was really when it stopped working. I mean, Undertaker was a little bit different. You flipped the title between Undertaker, Austin, Rock. I mean, I think it's a thing where, again, I don't mind this.
Yeah,
but I just think you stick with the baby face, especially now that there's
storyline wise they have to put the belts,
and they need heels. They need the heels with the belts right now because the baby faces are the ones that are bubbling right now, and so I don't have a problem with that. I just think when it comes to fruition,
and
run with it.
It was perfect to turn. The best way to turn ADR heel was the best way to turn Ziggler baby face.
And Alberto Del Rio, talk a little bit about Alberto Del Rio.
Sitting there.
Yeah, he's been kind of quiet.
Sure as I'm sitting there.
Yeah. But I mean, the baby face or the heel turn, then comes to Raw,
mm-hmm.
and fights Punk, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
So that solidifies it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
let's see, I'm just thinking of that. We move on to Punk and Jericho. Punk with the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu hoodie.
Yes, yeah.
That made me laugh.
Yeah.
But looks like Wolverine, essentially.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. That was the first thing I thought of. I'm like, oh, it's Wolverine Punk.
I was wrong, man. That crowd was 100% behind Punk. Boy, was that, crowd was unbelievably hot. I actually don't think that match was that much better than most of the other matches. I just think the crowd elevated it that much.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think it was a tremendous match, but I think the crowd was tremendous.
It made a
very good match.
My favorite part of the match was Michael Cole talking about great sports entertainers in Chicago history.
Yes.
Like Dick the Bruiser and the One Man Gang.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was like, my first thought was, Dick the Bruiser is a sports entertainer.
I know.
And then I was like, and the One Man Gang is who you
great.
Are. You don't think of like the Legion of Doom.
No, I know.
I didn't even think of anybody, but the One Man Gang.
Yeah, Rhino. Like, Rhino's better.
Rhino? No, Rhino's from Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Yeah, you're right.
And One Man Gang is from Africa. Deepest, darkest Africa.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
With Kamala.
No, he's from Uganda.
Oh, my mistake.
Yes.
Which is in Africa.
Is it?
Technically.
Huh. Oh, yeah, it's right next to Niger, isn't it? On the map?
I ain't going there.
To Africa?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know.
I'm
afraid of lions.
Are you? Well, yes, and you may get mistaken for a hippo. this elephant has no ivory. Wait. That's Mo. Then.
But they would be impressed with my trunk.
Your tickle trunk? Rob Van Dam.
Crowd went crazy for Rob Van Dam. They show this, and the crowd's going crazy for him, and they show this video of him doing all these moves. He can't do anymore.
Mm-mm.
That's the funniest part to me.
That is the funniest part.
They're showing him in his prime, which he isn't.
Yes.
He's 42 years old. He's bloated. His injuries and age and size and style, all of that has caught up with him. He was not very good in TNA. He had occasional flashes, but generally not very good. No, I mean, that's what's funny. I mean, it'll be there for 4 to 6 weeks that he's at that level, and then it's gonna. And then I expect the crowd to catch on. Now, again, how much is he gonna be around? A limited performance day.
Jericho schedule.
Yeah.
Jericho, not a Brock schedule, but a Jericho type schedule where when he comes in, he's gonna be in for a while, and then gone, and then back, and gone. So he's gonna come in for spurts essentially.
And is he under what kind of contract? Does he have to pass? Like, does he have to pass that marijuana test?
Well, I understand that he's going to be riding with Jack Swagger.
Mm, there you go.
So that's perfect. Mm. But I think that...
Well, they'll take their shirts off, though, right?
It's hot. But I think...
his name's Jack Swagger.
It's Jack Swagger. That's Zeb Coulter.
Man.
But I just think that... he'll get the pot. I mean, Money in the Bank in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Perfect spot for him to come back.
Yeah.
The same as it was perfect for Punk to come back in Chicago.
And a match like Money in the Bank is a perfect match for him. Much like Christian coming back is, I'm sure, it's not
tied into that, exactly.
It's like, okay, perfect. He's a great guy to be the general in that ladder match.
Mm-hmm. And with RVD, he can do his spots. He can lie on the floor for, 20 minutes while they do some other stuff, come back, do a few more spots, you know what I mean? So that's perfect for
him. It is just, like I say, it's funny that they show the video and the crowd is expecting that guy.
Yeah.
And he's not that guy.
And he'll get her. I think you run him till SummerSlam. He comes back in the Rumble.
I use him right away. I mean, I push him up to one of the main events sponsored on SummerSlam. I put him in there against ADR or, you know, whatever. Like, or even Cena. Like, I put him in there. You maximize him while he's hot because he's not going to stay hot long.
No, and then it's it. But then he comes back in the Rumble, has a, puts a guy over at WrestleMania type match, and then you figure out what you want to do with him after that, right? I mean,
or if you want to do something else with him, you team him up with a Sin Cara or a Rey Mysterio, who looks like he's coming back now.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah. Sin Cara, did you do a Sin Cara action figure?
Yes, I did. Yeah, don't get hurt, folks. Yeah. Don't get hurt.
But I think, you could do Rob Van Dam and I mean, to me, and it won't, but talking about tag team action to be hot and heavy here in the World Wrestling Federation, if Rey is coming back, then you Rey and Sin Cara against
sure.
team. Done.
Sure.
I put RVD with Dustin Gabriel.
Sure.
And there you go. There's another kind of pseudo high-flying team.
Yeah, yeah, I've got no problem with that.
And there you go, right? So, or an Evan Bourne, or, you know, somebody, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Evan Bourne's probably perfect.
Evan Bourne and him will enjoy each other's
they
company.
They will get along famously, you know?
You know, they can ride with him and Swagger and R-Truth. And
yeah, that's true. Weed to the people. But no, I think that's perfect. And during the tag title match, there was an RVD chant.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. It was over.
I did think that spot in the tag title match when Brian hit Orton, I thought that was a great spot. It made sense. And
everything about that match I thought made sense. It was very another good match.
Love that curb stomp knee
finish,
too,
yeah.
from Seth Rollins. That was great. Yeah. Yeah, everything made sense. The wheels fell off on Monday.
Sort of. I mean, we'll get there.
We'll get there. Let's talk about the final thing to talk about is three stages of heck.
Exactly what I expect it to be.
Yeah.
I do wish Ryback sold. I know Cena's not going to sell. I wish Ryback sold. I was thinking during the match, but I guess I was also figuring. I suppose that's his character. He's the monster, so he doesn't sell. But I like it. Just, you know what? I guess.
Good point.
Let's go to the finish.
Yeah, they have the ambulance. The
They take they're up at the top of this ambulance. Cena takes them, grabs them, F5s them. He falls through the roof, and that's the end of the match. He's in the ambulance.
Right.
And it's like I'm watching it, and I'm torn because I'm like, this is a fairly decent match. Certainly, like I say, they're not selling, but it's physical enough, and crowd's into it, and it's interesting. It's different, at least. It all takes place by the ambulance.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, the end. Yeah, the ambulance
great,
portion,
Has the great, has the one great spot. I mean, Ryback got the pin first in the Lumberjack match, and then Cena put him through the table, which I understand there was the exact same finish they've been using in the House Show shows.
Yeah.
Where Shell Shock reversed to FU.
Right. I did like the spot, though, when Ryback just flipped the table over.
Yeah.
Oh, that was just a simple, nice spot.
He was about to be flipped through it, and all of a sudden he flipped it over.
He just flipped it over
to
the brain.
That's where JBL's like, this is a thinking man's monster.
Yeah, and that was a very natural spot, too. I liked it.
Yeah, that was a good spot. But, again, he puts them through the ambulance like this, and I'm watching, I'm like, that's everything they wanted. It's incredibly spectacular, but it looks so phony.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one of those spots, like, it's like when Jeff Hardy did that thing on Umaga outside the ring that one time.
Yes.
Where it's so obvious he was landing on a crash pad that you couldn't see.
Sting and Vampiro in that,
Vampiro.
Yeah, in that torch match, right?
And yeah, like, torch match, yeah. Was that a Starrcade?
That was a Slamboree.
Slamboree
2000.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awful.
Every
was
match
so
was a gimmick
looking.
Match.
It was obviously a different guy put on fire jumping off the on top of that stage.
But it was going into the crash pad very obviously. It's like Foley's, Foley and Hunter through the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
You know, like Shane McMahon off the crash pad. I mean, you know what I mean? At least
Shane's action was cool.
Well, at least Shane's going into a crash pad. He's going from, like, 70 feet in the air.
He was way
up
on the Big Show, yeah.
Yeah, so, attached, I mean, or whatever he did. Yeah, because Steve Blackman was the other one, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He jumped off, but, I mean, whatever. The problem is, nice spot, yada, yada, but, again,
yeah, so it's incredibly cool looking, but
Batista goes into the thing, Greg Colley goes into the thing. Like, I've seen this now, though. It seems like every match like this ends this way.
Well, plus it's just the ambulance. They're like, it's just so phony looking because ambulances aren't made out of tinfoil.
Well, exactly. Even when they're ripping the door off and they're throwing each other into it.
Although that's
like,
pushing it a little bit. But when he goes to the roof, I'm like, no, if you did that, it might dent the roof a little bit.
Do not get injured in Chicago.
But it is not going, like, he went through so easily. Like it was made out of paper.
Yeah.
And it just looks phony.
Yeah.
You're like, and so it's like, it's spectacular looking but phony.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of put, like, but I was still like, great pay-per-view, but I was, after that, I'm like, it was a little, kind of, I don't know, not out on the highest note for me.
No, that's I guess. But it's also, I mean, it's going out on
you
a...
You should have gone out with the pump. You should have, that should have been the main event.
But it's the title, and they don't do that, right? I mean,
well, yeah, they did when it was Cena. Go with the biggest match. When a Cena
that's
versus,
true, when
a
it's
Cena,
Cena, you're
versus
right.
Wade Barrett or anything,
yeah,
you know, the title, you know, whatever, anything like that. When Cena versus whoever, when CM Punk has the title, that's against Kane. That's going on last. That should be on last.
Yeah, that's true.
It should
be. But yeah, I mean, so that was pay per view. Let me just see if there's anything else. Well, Rob Van Dam's just Rob Van Dam. WWE has a plan for Rob Van Dam. They're bringing him back with an idea. They're not just bringing him back for, like we talked about, for the ladder match. I'm sure that's part of it, but they have something for him for SummerFest.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
exactly. The ladder match is part of it, but something for
and
him.
And that fest is shaping up. If you
well,
can,
so is Money in the Bank. I mean, I'm looking forward to both events already.
Yeah, I mean, I just like if you can do if you're gonna do Punk and Brock at the Fest and brothers.
Money in the Bank.
No, it's SummerSlam.
It is.
It is. Yeah, and Brothers of Destruction against the Shield.
Yeah.
Like right there, that's two.
Yeah.
And then you know you haven't even put in anybody else, so it's
no.
like that's yeah that's a buy right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Money in the Bank. I mean. The people that are coming back, I mean, we said Christian come back on Raw, you know, for that reason, and put him against Wade Barrett immediately is great because it puts Wade Barrett in the Money in the Bank mix with Christian.
Absolutely.
Right? So, who, as I said, should be the winner.
Should win one.
Wade
should
Barrett,
win the
right?
SmackDown one.
Wade Barrett should win the SmackDown Money in the Bank. I agree.
Yeah.
Then we had, I think, the main event of Raw, which was Mark Henry.
Mark Henry was so, I mean, I was a big fan of Mark Henry.
Nincompoop.
Oh, thank God.
Gold dust.
Yeah, he had me nervous there.
Oh.
It's okay, we're talking about Mark Henry.
There's a panic button.
Thanks, I guess he's not a fan.
I guess not.
So, anyways, jeez.
Oof.
But Mark Henry.
Family show, this is.
Yeah, fucking right.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Henry was unbelievable. Mark Henry was so good. The crowd loved him anyways. Because he was so good. And then when he Cena was good too. Like Mark Henry at that point, the thing was he was good because he was giving a speech. But during it, the crowd started reacting to him. He started to realize that if he did quit right now, the crowd actually would appreciate
cares.
Him.
Yeah.
And it got to him. Like, it actually literally got to him in the moment.
These people actually give a shit about
These people actually do give a shit. So, I mean, yes, this is, I'm not, but if I was to, it's nice to know.
We think
and,
of Mark.
And Cena recognized that, too. Cena kind of had a little smile, too, going, oh, fuck, they really do care, and that's awesome. Good for him. And that made it work.
And the thing that I didn't get at the time.
Basically, what happened. Tell everybody
well,
the angle.
You start with Cena.
Yeah.
Because Cena comes out, and I think I tweeted it, or whatever, I mean. If fucking John Cena talks about, if I have to hear one more fucking time that people, some of you love me, some of you hate me, and that's what I love about this, like, just fuck off.
Because everybody hated him there.
Well, it doesn't even matter. It's
what
like,
city was in again?
Grand Rapids, Michigan, maybe. But I don't give a fuck that some people like him and some people, I can hear that some people fucking like you and some people hate you, and you've said it now.
Well, they
17.
Hated him. They really hated him.
Well, yeah, but they got the kids or whatever that were wearing the Cena socks and shit. Hey, you're probably gonna like this beer, wheat.
Got a little bit of apricot in it too.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Huh. That is the one you picked first, is it? That's excellent. Uh-huh. But I don't need to hear. I've heard 17 times in the last year that people like him and hate him and fuck. He does it like every once a month. It's fuck off. I don't give a shit. But the one thing he said was that whoever wins the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I'm here, I'm waiting. I've never been better. I'm unstoppable. Nobody can stop me.
Yeah.
Right? And then he left it at that, and then somebody's gonna their ass could come out to do the retirement thing, right?
Yeah.
And it was just that little thing that it's like I'm on such a high there ain't no one that can distract me, no one that can take away my focus from staying be the champion.
Yeah.
And that's exactly with a phony retirement, Mark Henry made John Cena drop his guard.
Yeah.
And wham. I thought that was beautiful.
Everything about it was great. Like, Henry was so great. The storyline-wise, it totally made sense.
Yeah.
The crowd loved it. It'd be interesting to see going forward how the crowd reacts to the two of them.
When he said, I'd like to thank my wife, and then he goes, no, Mae Young, dummy.
Yeah.
Fuck, that made me laugh.
Yes, that was great.
Suit. I mean, just everything he did. You know, when you may not remember me, but you're going to remember this suit.
Putting his boots at the top, and even at the end, after he lifts them up and picks them up for the, you know, they're doing the little handshake hug thing, puts them up and does the World's Strongest Slam, and goes, "I got a lot left in the tank." And the way he said it, you're like, "Oh yeah, fuck this guy's."
Well, and the fluidity of the hug into the World's Strongest Slam was awesome. Just the go to hug, scoop, boom, right?
Yeah.
And talked about how he did everything but be the WWF champion.
Yeah.
You know, I got some opportunity, not as many as John Cena.
Well, it's the same thing. It's like the thing I like about ADR was when he came out later and he's like, "You guys aren't cheering me." Dolph Ziggler did exactly, I did exactly what Dolph Ziggler he did to me, but you're cheering him.
Yes.
And you know, it's the same thing. Like I understand it. The heels, the heel, but he's got a point. Same thing with Mark Henry. Mark Henry's the heel, apparently. Mark Henry's the heel, but he's got a point.
Yeah.
I've done everything. I haven't got this. I'll do anything to get this.
At least with Mark Henry, though.
I actually think people are going to get behind him because they're going to be like, he deserves it. I think there'll be a certain amount of people that'll be, Mark Henry deserves it.
And it's in Philadelphia, and people are going to hate Cena anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be... It's going to be good, and it's the match that we talked about wanting to see after WrestleMania.
After WrestleMania, and even when last week when you said, "Well, if Ryback loses, what do you do with him?" I said, "Henry."
Yeah.
I'm like, Henry's the obvious guy, because it's never been a pay-per-view match between the two of them.
No, that's right. And it's never been a major match.
No, it's happened on Raw, but, you know, nothing that anyone's going to remember.
Yeah, that was the one that happened on Raw when Kane came back.
Yeah, a couple of times, but...
That one when Kane and they thought they was going to choke slam Henry because Henry's the one that took him out, and then that was that rise against or embrace the hate bullshit when Zack Ryder died. So no, that was awful. But no, that was one of the better angles they've done in a long time.
And it's funny because you have earlier. I mean, you have the whole thing after Punk wins against Jericho, and I was more convinced than ever watching the pay-per-view. It was the wrong move. That I thought storyline wise, I'm like, where do you go from here? The storyline is that he loses, and then he's, you know, like I say, this is how you start building the split.
Yeah.
They just started building the split, anyways, in a totally illogical way.
Yeah.
Again, it's like the destination of Punk versus
Brock Lesnar
is perfect. How they're getting there is not good. I don't think it's. I mean, the guys are performing it well, but the logic of the storyline. Isn't very well thought out.
I at least liked. I wasn't expecting Brock.
Not there, no.
That was a pop because it was.
I thought it would go a lot longer.
Yeah, me too. But the fact that they did it, I was like, "Oh shit, that's cool."
Yeah.
I mean, I liked the split part. I liked. I mean, we still don't. Again, we still don't know, come SmackDown, right? Like, this mind your business, you blood-sucking leech.
Yeah.
You know? So we still don't know why.
No.
Right? I mean, like, we kind of know why. But we haven't had the official Paul Heyman explanation.
No.
Right? So that's still to come.
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
You know, and they can do that.
But they have a while to get to it, especially if Brock is not going to be... I mean, all you do next week is you do... all you do is you don't have Brock there... You have Punk come out and insulting the hell out of you know, Heyman and Brock, and I'm, you know, and then you just have you know, Heyman come up on the screen, and he's standing in front of, like, just put him in the woods in a cabin somewhere. Doesn't have to be Brock. Just say it's Brock's house.
Yeah.
He'll be in there. I'll be with my client and friend.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's just it. You know.
That's all you have to. Like,
but he's got to. But you know, the thing is with Heyman, he's got to be there because he's got to be with Axel.
I suppose. You could have Axel off the show for a week. It doesn't matter.
I think you could. I don't think they will.
You,
right
have, you just have him on SmackDown instead with them.
That's true. That's true.
You that.
Could. I mean, that's definitely true. Trying to think of what else. But, yeah, I mean, that's SummerSlam is the destination, not Money in the Bank. Because, I mean, as soon as you think... It's just the way WWF has done things, is that as soon as they put on an angle, it's for the next pay-per-view, you think, right?
Yeah.
And it still might be, but it seemed that the plan was last...
Well, that said, I mean, who was it that left that helped build this?
Well, he's sticking around, though. This David Kresman is the lead writer, and he quit. He is staying on, though, until after SummerSlam. And then he's gone. So he's gone like September. He's given notice, essentially, that his last day will be...
Yeah, he used to write All in the Family, or not All in the Family, I mean All My Children.
All My Children, and he won some soap opera writer awards and stuff.
Later,
and,
like that.
Yeah, and of course, and you could tell.
Yeah.
Because things are a lot more soap opera-y. I mean, you got that horse shit with the McMahons.
Yeah.
You know, I just loved when Vince said, yeah, we're going to see Croft, or Axel against... who's Croft Axel? He's a hockey player, isn't he?
I don't know.
Anyway. Curtis Axel against... he's a mortgage broker in the city. Curtis Axel against... against Hunter. All right, can't wait to see that, pal. And Hunter goes, no, I'm not feeling it. I'm going, well, yeah, he's the Intercontinental Champion now, so that's beneath you.
Yes, yeah.
But that whole thing with Vicky and the...
But it's more about storyline-wise. It's more about, I won't do whatever you tell me to do.
Well, yeah, and it's like Vicky with the listen to me, and it's like, you know, just dumb. Like, the whole thing is fucking retarded.
Yeah.
We talked about Giant Gonzalez.
What is this? Explain this to everybody.
AJ comes out, the new women's champion, da-da-da-da-da, you know, anybody in the back wants to challenge me, and apparently Stephanie has new music, so she comes out, so no pop, because nobody knows what the fucking music, and she's Stephanie. Well, Stephanie probably would get a pop when she comes back.
Steph Atney will get a pop.
Yeah.
Steph Atney came out, and Steph Atney confronted AJ, and Steph Atney was about a foot taller than her, which looked really... strange.
A foot?
Like, yeah, maybe a foot and a half. And Steph Atney also looked like she weighed about 150 pounds more than her. So, I mean, it was just weird to see this little tiny 12-year-old AJ like Steph Atney McMahon sitting there.
But when you're 8 feet tall...
Like Steph Atney McMahon?
It's okay to be 300 pounds because it's very... It's natural, you see. But...
those suits that they have, though, are very slimming for Steph Atney. Well, not very...
That suit actually looked like Hulk mad, like she was about to burst out of this thing. Yeah, right. But I just thought, and then she's like, da-da-da-da, and then Caitlin comes out, and she looks at Caitlin and goes, don't ever interrupt me again. And I'm like, yeah, you're in fucking charge. We understand, you stupid.
But this is because somebody backstage at some point actually interrupted Steph Atney McMahon.
Yes.
And Steph Atney
it was a shoot.
Got very, very upset, so they decided to write that into storyline.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a shoot.
But she's a cunt.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Steph Atney's a cunt. Let's use that.
Okay.
And she's too, I don't know, whatever. But anyway, so there's Steph Atney as a command, and I don't need her on my screen anymore. It's only 55 inches. I barely have room.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I said about your mom. But I think that even the Vince and Hunter thing, like, cares?
Nobody.
Who
cares? We're talking about what we're excited about at SummerSlam. It is not that. Now, let's talk about Daniel Bryan and Hunter.
Yes. Well, then let's go to Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton.
Exactly. That's
that was the story. And that was
enough about Steph Atney.
That was supposed to be Orton's heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
That was the plan.
By the way, I hope we can get Steph Atney on the show sometime in the future.
I hope so. We can see. You know what? I'll put a call into our producer and see if the producer can't arrange to have Steph Atney on the show.
Awesome.
We can see what we can do there. But I think that we're talking about the heel turn. It's supposed to be Orton's heel turn.
Yes. Yes.
And
was this supposed to be the heel turn?
Yeah. He was turning heel. And,
I know he was losing. It was supposed to be Daniel Bryan's win to make him a main eventer.
And Orton to turn heel there.
Well, what was he supposed to do?
I don't know.
After?
That would turn him heel, wouldn't it?
No.
No. But he was supposed to turn heel. Whatever he's supposed to do, he's supposed to turn heel. But then, legitimately, Daniel Bryan got knocked loopy on that, got a stinger, hitting, doing his dive thing into the rope, so they actually stopped the match.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what was weird, because it was there, and then you got that show of respect from Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan's super pissed,
legit,
but it played into the story, because
they used it, yeah.
When he was super pissed, I didn't think anything about it, because this guy would be super pissed anyway. But then he go back, yelled at Hunter, You know, basically, they had words, you know, why the fuck did you stop the match, basically, you stupid motherfucker, and all this stuff, like,
Did they actually say those things? Pretty much,
actually. I would assume so,
That was actually pretty close to the
You're talking to, if you're talking to Hunter, I would think you'd have to call him a stupid motherfucker. It would just be, like, it's implied, right?
That's true. And occasionally, Hunter, I mean, he's been known to use the word fucking stuff. I think I heard it once.
I think I heard him say that, yeah.
Yeah, once or twice.
Well, watch your fucking mouth. Fuck. I love that State of the Union.
I was thinking more of the DX.
Well, the DX thing, yeah.
Panel that we have.
Fuck. Fuck.
Goldust.
Goldust liked it.
Yeah. Well.
But but I think they had words. They turned into a storyline on WWE and Comp because they just yelled at each other and they're totally fine. And I guess. I would presume the rematch is set for this Monday on Raw.
Well, they had a rematch, actually, on SmackDown, where Daniel Bryan beat Orton by countout.
By countout.
And then the show goes off the air with him grabbing the mic and say,
no.
Countout's not good enough for me.
Yes.
No. And then Orton had this look on his face like, are you shitting me? Like,
take the win and run, boys.
Yeah.
I'll beat the fuck out of you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's good. So that would lead into another match on Raw, I would think.
Well, I think, match on Raw, or like I say, I mean, I now build the match for the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and, yeah, I guess you could do it for the pay-per-view.
But this is, now the storyline is, when can Daniel Bryan actually get the real win, submission or pinfall victory over Orton?
Yeah.
So next time it's a DQ win. He already had the count-out win, now you get a DQ win. Now you get a banana peel somebody interferes with. Like, that's what you do, right?
I think
to build for it.
Yeah. And then the final is no count out, no disqualification.
Yeah.
Da-da, right? I hear that they're supposed to, and that's going to, because you don't want them in Money in the Bank in the actual ladder match.
No, you don't.
It's going to be too gimmicky now because of they're doing the intergender thing, right? Stephanie is actually in one of the ladder matches.
Stephanie's in?
Yes. Cunty in the Bank. Is what they're doing.
Mm.
So, it's just a win, right?
Of course it is.
But, I don't know. To me, I like where they're going with it. Again, it's another good upper mid-card thing. We talked about the baby faces bubbling.
Like, yeah, I mean, it was a screw-up that you know, that the match happened like that, and then after, like you say, after Brian is hurt, and by the way, they did the right thing stopping the match, because they don't know the severity of the injury.
Exactly.
I know they didn't like it. But they really did do the right thing. I mean, you got to do that, especially in this day and age. That said, after he had the injury, he still took some major moves from Orton, some very, very physical moves.
Yeah.
That was a little weird, but...
I think, though, that with this... well, and I think, though, that's Daniel Bryan running in and doing and calling it, right? I mean, because he was fine. But I liken this to the fact that they're on a bit of a roll, WWE. Right now? Like, in terms of things we want to see?
Yeah.
And so, when you get into that kind of groove,
so maybe
in that role...
a good pay-per-view and a good role the next night can do.
Well, I think when you get into situations like that, though, sometimes you get lucky when you're on a roll like that. And that this not, thankfully not severe injury, this stinger to Brian... is actually they're using it and propelling it with, like you said, that count out win. I'd like to see a DQ, like you said, on Raw to build a pay-per-view. Like, that's good. Where they were just going to do not one and done it, but pull the trigger on Raw the night after the pay-per-view. Now they're able to stretch it out. We talk about how storylines longer and drawn out mean more. They're actually
have
the opportunity.
When you actually get the win, it's going to mean more.
It's like by accident they're doing it.
Yeah, it's like
Conor
and Raven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, so it's by accident.
Yeah.
But take it, right? One other guy that's hurt is Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, MCL?
That's actually the remarkable thing about he was hurt during this match.
Yeah.
He's on Raw. He beats Heath Slater. He has a match with ADR.
Well, that's not remarkable.
SmackDown. But the match he had with CM Punk, considering the injury.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny, because he does this match with ADR, and then finish of the match is, once again, Ziggler just running out, beating the hell out of ADR.
Yeah.
And afterwards, Jericho's pissed at him, and he's yelling at him for, you know, causing him the disqualification, which is strange, because, I mean, what's his name gets in the ring first?
Langston?
No.
Ricardo.
Ricardo. So that's not the disqualification. But anyways. And then he gives him the code breaker.
Yeah.
And that felt like a heel turn. Like, if you look at Jericho's face and you look at, and you're like, if he had just clotheslined him or drop kicked him on the chest, I think people would have been okay with it. But because he's hitting him in the code breaker in the head, right, where the guy's being. But that plays into ADR coming back and attacking his head again.
Yes, that's right. And I just like, too, though.
But it does feel like a triple threat.
A little bit, yeah, like a little bit triple threat. And the fact that, I mean, it makes sense in terms of Jericho and Ziggler.
Yeah.
Right? They're not buddy-buddy.
No, no.
So you still have to keep that tension or whatever. Sure. And you could even do a situation.
But like I say, if he had clotheslined him, if he had.
But you could do a situation triple threat-wise, where then after the triple threat, Jericho could come out and say that Ziggler's earned my respect.
Sure.
Right? But you can't just come out and do
but
it.
But again, unless this was a heel, this felt like a heel turn.
It very well could be, and it with Jericho and I mean, you know what actually what I would do if I was WWE, other than Mania?
Yeah.
Mania's a little bit different story, but when Chris Jericho is on the roster, Rob Van Dam is not.
Well, yeah.
And vice versa.
Except for Mania.
Flip him, except for Mania. Except for that Mania build, right?
Yeah.
Flip him over. And I think that's perfect to me. You know, keep Jericho after Mania to Money in the Bank. Rob Van Dam comes back, Money in the Bank, leading, you know what I mean? And just do 6-6. And that's, to me, that's perfect. That you've got found a guy that replaces Jericho when Jericho's on the summer concert tour.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. But,
somehow I'd love to see all of this building. If Jericho turns heel, and I don't think he should.
No.
But if he does, I hope it leads to him versus Daniel Bryan, putting him over at a Mania. That's, you know, that'd be great.
I don't think at a Mania, but I think...
Royal Rumble, then.
Yeah, that's perfect. The Royal Rumble title match, yeah. Yeah, I like that. I do like that one. Or, you know, not even say a Survivor Series, but what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah, nothing.
It's like Night of Champions. But, and that's good. And so I think that's very good. Another thing I think is very good from Raw... We the People.
Cesaro and
Zeb Coulter.
Yep.
I mean, pulling the trigger, now you've got Zeb Coulter.
And now you're going to see Cesaro winning again for a little while.
Yeah, and the mouthpiece. And hell, if you want to do a team and team him and Swagger.
That's great.
Excellent, exactly.
Yeah, them against, because the Shield's going to be baby faces sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
So that gives them a heel team to work with.
A natural heel team, yeah. I think that's good. I think.
And in fact, you could even add a third member to them.
Yeah, eventually. I don't know who, but you could, you know, eventually do that.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
But another thing about Ziggler, when he comes out and ADR's all over him, that was a chance for Langston to come out. Langston, of course, was there with AJ, and she didn't. So, I mean, you expect pretty soon the Langston, Ziggler, you know, because AJ referenced that her, you know, whatever wasn't there.
Ziggy
wasn't there, and then he shows up to attack ADR. So, I mean... He's babyface now, obviously.
And you've got a SummerSlam match.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a history of it, you know? That's where...
I think there's bigger plans for Ziggler SummerSlam, but yeah. I think it is being TV.
Maybe.
It could be a triple threat even.
No, I don't think you put...
Four-way.
I don't think you put Langston that high in a thing.
They had him 50-50 booking with...
ADR, that's true.
Del Rio right up until
Best
now, right?
of Seven series, yeah.
Best of 75,000.
Yeah. Fuck. And heck, SummerSlam, isn't that where Virgil beat DiBiase? There you go. The bodyguard beat the guy, right? So Langston and Ziggler.
Yeah, the bodyguard.
Well, now heel and babyface, yeah. But, and again, I don't like it for the belt with Langston, so...
If he's in there with other guys,
you know what?
If he's in there with Jericho, and if it was a four way, that's perfect.
Here's a crazy idea though. Why don't we just fucking split them and not have a match?
I'm okay with that too.
I mean, like
you just need a storyline to go with it.
You've got this whole thing exactly,
and then you can have the match. You can have the match 6 months from now. You can have AJ. Seething, and finally she does it, and then she's like,
hell yeah.
I've been waiting till it would hurt you the most.
You could just do the one and done on Raw to split them, too. I mean, you got so much TV time.
Yeah.
You just do it to split them, and then you move on. Because you can, but I don't like giving Big E a title shot, you know? Presumably if Dolph's the World Heavyweight Championship champion by the time you get there, so... I don't like that.
I don't mind that.
I guess I keep forgetting that it's like the Intercontinental Championship, this World Heavyweight Title, right?
Even if it isn't, I mean, you look at like Ryback getting the belts or title shot, and
Here's the last thing we'll leave you on Raw, though.
Okay.
I wrote, this is exactly what I wrote. 1-800-FELLA. Fuck off.
Okay.
What the fuck was the point of that?
I don't know.
Like, they spent money to make that. Like, they can't hire Colt Cabana, but they can make a 1-800-FELLA commercial.
They're thinking it's going to make them money.
How?
I don't know.
Here's the thing, though, because Alabama exists, people called 1-800-FELLA.
Probably.
You know? And it's, but I saw that and I was like, what the fuck was, why? Why? Like, fuck. It's so stupid.
Just that was really quick. Can you just repeat something
just
like that? Like,
fuck. What did Goldust pick? Fuck, 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 fuck. Fuck. Fella, fuck. Dick, fuck. Fella.
He's a Goldust fan just like he is Mark Henry.
Jesus Christ, though. I mean, it really was. It was absolutely, positively, unequivocally one of the dumbest things that I have seen in a long time.
I remember watching it and going, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah.
Like, what is the point of this? But whatever. I don't care.
No. Dumb. Fucking retarded. They better not do any more. That was my other question for you. Sorry, we got a little on. So who else would you put with Zeb Coulter?
I was actually trying to think of that. You know, I mean, I love the idea that he now picked a foreigner in. So, I would like...
Get in with your mom.
I mean, do you bring in somebody from a developmental? Do you bring in somebody, bring back somebody people might recognize? Or do you use somebody from the current roster?
I have two people in mind. They're both current roster people.
Okay.
Well, actually, no, I guess you're one out.
You have one guy, current roster person.
Yeah, okay, so I might throw Ryder in there.
Be interesting.
I mean, just, if we talked about turning him heel and putting him with the Dolph thing a while ago, that's not obviously happening, so maybe you throw him in there. He's American, I mean, that thing. The guy that I threw out was David Otunga, because I think David Otunga, the one thing he does well is talk.
I don't think that really works.
Yeah, you don't need Coulter to talk for him.
How about a Wade Barrett?
No, Wade Barrett can talk for himself. So can Cesaro, but they don't trust him to.
Mm-hmm. Right? I don't personally think the Swagger's such a bad talker. Everybody doesn't...
it's the lisp.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, and it was the repackage, and it's all
kind
of makes sense. But, yeah, I don't know.
I just think physically if you had... you know, Wade Barrett standing next to Cesaro, standing next to Swagger, that would be look like an intimidating group.
From a developmental, you know what the ironic thing would be is that if it turns into a foreign group, turn on Swagger, right?
Yeah.
Actually,
that would be interesting.
Or, does America need a hero? They need a Chris hero? And he's teamed with Castagnoli again.
Yes, that's probably why they won't do that. That's not bad, though.
I like Cassius Ohno in there.
Cassius Ohno would be all right. Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Because you keep him kind of single.
Yeah.
But then they eventually go into the team, and you get the Kings of Wrestling.
And the greatest thing would be if it was Sin Cara or ADR.
Yeah. Well, but...
Or Ray. But, I mean, I love the idea of actually Sin Cara and Ray versus the
Swagger and Cesaro.
Yeah, or
the Kings of Wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how great would that be?
Yeah. I do like the visual, you're right, of Wade Barrett standing with them.
Yeah,
the
I mean, it's like
them.
Three guys, all like 6'6", 270 pounds.
That can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I've assembled the most deadly, legit group in all of wrestling.
And he has.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, those guys look very, they're legit, right? And you'd be like, oh yeah. So I like that.
If you're going to do a super split, could you...
Oh, fuck, here comes the rain.
Yeah. If you could do a super split,
yeah.
Could you put Langston then?
Yeah.
You know, another big guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's like 4'8".
With this Sheamus...
Like 750 pounds.
Yeah, Sheamus would be the only other guy that could turn heel and go with it. But,
well, I mean,
Sheamus,
there's a couple of guys in there who Sheamus has always been, like, ideally to be partnered with, and one is Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
And the other is a member of the three-man band.
Jinder.
Drew McIntyre.
Oh. I said Jinder.
Yeah, not him.
Don't hinder Jinder. Idiot. But I was thinking, I don't remember what I was thinking.
It's amazing you were.
I know. That's what threw me. But when it comes to Coulter and then the guys that he could have, I think that probably makes the most sense. Oh, that was going to say. When it comes to Sheamus and his battle against the Rhodes Scholars,
mm-hmm.
who, I mean, that has to lead to a partner.
Not necessarily.
You don't think so?
Well, maybe. I mean, basically, the storyline so far is he can't beat them 2-on-1, but he can beat them 1-on-1.
So
he needs a partner.
Who do you think the partner is?
Well, it's not going to be Randy Orton now.
Well.
Big Show?
It's the Big Show.
That would be... strange.
It would be strange, but I could see them pulling the trigger and turning the Big Show babyface.
Maybe, but I mean, right after that he trusted him.
I know. That's the
I guess you could play into that storyline, but...
That's the part that doesn't make sense, but still.
I mean, you could play into it.
You could. Because I couldn't think of anybody. I mean, my first thought was Finley. Because he's an Irish guy. But,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, or you could, like you said, Drew McIntyre.
I mean, Drew McIntyre is better than the group he's in. And he and Sheamus are great together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That could be. Trying to think of anything else. Do you have anything else that you can think of?
No.
I'm just trying to think of anything else.
Want to talk about TNA or some news?
Yeah, there's some TNA. I will say, well, I think the news was, I will say Money in the Bank sold out.
Not a surprise, yeah.
So, yeah, not a surprise there, but that's good.
How much rain are we going to get here? Because we are in a city that's seen some major flooding and homes destroyed here lately. I don't know if people are familiar with what's happened here, but...
In Calgary?
A third of the city was shut down at one point. And
Alberta, Canada?
Evacuations. We can handle a lot of snow. We cannot handle a lot of rain.
It says this evening it's supposed to get 1 to 3 millimeters.
Okay, so that's nothing because we had 46.
Yes.
Another one of the days there. Okay.
Yeah, 70 over 2 days or something, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So.
Yeah. And which led you to some Facebook posts. What did you put?
Well, people are worried about the Calgary Stampede that's coming up, right?
Yeah,
everybody loves the Calgary Stampede.
I hate it.
And cowboys, and give you a good excuse to wear jeans and a cowboy hat. It's really fun.
I fucking hate
that. But. If you want to know if we're still going to have a Stampede Parade, which we do call it, like the Rose Bowl Parade and things like that, so, of course we're going to have a parade. They're called floats.
People like that? They like that comment?
I got a lot of positive feedback.
On your Facebook for that?
On the Facebook for that.
What else? What else did you put on your Facebook?
I thought out loud, actually, is what it was, because we have the chuck wagon races, which are all like horse races carrying, like a harness racing almost, carrying a covered wagon behind you, like you see on the Ponderosa, Little House on the Prairie type deal. But I just thought out loud, maybe this year they'll use seahorses.
Mm-hmm.
Good work.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be stupid not to do that, quite frankly.
What was it you said about rivers and waterfalls?
Well, that was me. That was the Calgary Police Force that asked Calgarians, don't go chasing waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's
nice. Well, they're a good force. I mean, everybody's been out and really helpful. Really helpful. They shut down the fucking Deerfoot at Glenmore with no notice. That was fucking helpful yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Fuckers.
yeah.
Jesus right. Christ. Hope they know I have some place to be.
They didn't ask me first. What the hell?
And that's really what hurts the most.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind doing it. Just ask me first.
City of 1.2 million people. But Jesus Christ. They didn't ask me.
What would Addy do? what do you want to do? Talk, so the quick news item, two news items, or TNA?
Let's do the news.
Okay. Reed Flair, accidental heroin overdose, is the official deal. You said you were going to reserve your thoughts, opinion, until the actual cause of death come out. Now it has. Go.
Oh, Jesus.
Call me Addy.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
So did your mom.
What a whore.
I know.
Yeah.
Whore!
Thanks.
Mom's mom! Whore!
Thanks.
Prostitute!
Thanks so much. Yeah, again, there's a song, Mothers Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys.
Right.
Just don't let them grow up to be wrestlers. Especially, I mean, Rick, you don't want to pile on a guy, but...
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to pay bar tabs.
Yeah. Well, he won't be now.
No, that's true. That's true. Well,
make a joke out of that, prick.
Well, we talked about how...
remember, you're not an asshole anymore.
I know, right? Well, we talked earlier about Cassius Ohno, right? And we thought,
oh, my God, there's your dog.
Yeah.
Let him out. I know it's raining. Get him the fuck out of this room.
We thought, lie down right up
to oh, my head. God.
Yeah, Addy. We talked about Cassius Ohno.
Oh.
We thought how America needs a hero. Reed Flair disagreed.
Oh, my Muhammad.
He thought that, he thought America could use a heroine.
Oh, my Buddha.
Huh? Your Buddha? That fits.
I shaved my head, right? I'm heavy, folks. That's what you're trying to say. Prick wad.
Not an asshole, though. A prick wad. Also, did you hear about Ring of Honor this week?
No.
Ring of Honor, instead of a regular television programming, they're going to have a one-hour sort of documentary on the Briscoes. 1 hour personality profile, if you will, of the Briscoes, which I will watch.
That will be worth watching.
That will definitely
be. Doesn't do any more for their product or any less for their product, but it's certainly something I'll watch.
It won't make me watch Best in the World.
No. Nope.
But I will watch this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm interested in seeing the Briscoes against each other.
Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of I'll download it afterwards because, fool me 8 times on this iPay review. Shame
yeah,
on
exactly.
me. So.
Well,
like, yeah, I was going to say, like, Triple Mania, right? I mean, with their Ustream and
Blames
going back and forth didn't work at all. So,
yeah.
I mean, in Japan, they haven't had a problem yet.
No. Well, technology is better there. That's where it's from.
That's true. Made in Taiwan.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us, like, I mean, we have nothing but good things to say about the Japanese folks. Or, like, much like Bruce Hart.
Bruce Hart?
But
Yeah.
Gold.
Bravo. Take it.
Gold Dust.
Jaffy.
Nothing but good things to say about the Japanese.
That was great.
You was
Godzilla. No, I think it's, and they're very respectful. As are we.
Yeah.
But, I'm just trying to think of what else, there is. I think that was it in terms of, there's a TNA, news. I don't know, Watched Impact?
You watched Impact, yeah.
The matches mean shit again?
Yep, matches and Impact mean something. It's,
finishes are clean-ish, right?
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think there was a fuck finish at the end,
yeah.
But all everything else...
Well, I mean, the first match was the Joseph Park versus Ken Anderson was a fuck finish. That's okay.
That's true.
It's all right. It's all part of the storyline. Like,
well, yeah.
It's the Bound for Glory series has begun again. This year they don't open up with a gauntlet-style match worth 20 points.
That's right.
But again, interesting to see if you try and judge off the first week who it looks like they're going to push. Christopher Daniels, AJ, right?
Of course, yeah. And again, Ken Anderson is obviously going to be in the mix.
AJ and actually Samoa Joe actually went to a time limit draw.
Yes.
So that was good.
That was great.
Yeah, yeah. Terrific match, of course. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Magnus got a win.
Magnus, yeah.
I liked, what's his name?
Hernandez.
Hernandez, yeah. I liked, what's his name? The Bradshaw or no, the other.
Oh, Jay Bradley.
Jay Bradley. When Jay Bradley comes out and calls out former world champion Austin Aries,
yeah,
heel versus heel, but it's just like, I'm not. If I'm here, I'm here to make it, to make my
quote unquote impact.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Right? So that's cool. That's storyline. Yeah, he loses, but you know, but there's another guy being pushed off to the top, and then
well, but he's
Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, and Jeff Hardy, of course.
You know?
Yeah.
So I mean, those are the guys getting the wins in the first week. Are all the guys all getting pushed? Not yet, necessarily. It's early. There's house show results that also play into this in the past, and I haven't seen if any house shows have been part of the Bound for Glory series.
I don't know if they will. This, I think that was kind of a couple years. I don't know how much it played in last year.
It did.
Did it? And they will. They just haven't probably done. And they would again, I would think. They just probably haven't had too many in the way of house shows, right?
No, probably not too much yet. And who knows? Maybe it won't. Maybe it's because they don't have any pay-per-views. They can do everything on TV.
That's true. That's true. And I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, it's there. It didn't really do anything for business,
yeah,
for their house show business, right?
Yeah.
So why not then?
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, I mean, it was a good show, except for Brooke Hogan, the only woman in wrestling taller than Stephanie McMahon.
Yes.
Is Brooke Hogan, and yeah, other than her being awful beyond belief, it was a good show.
That was awful. Forgetting her lines and even just laughing at herself.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a good show. Main Event Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Angle.
Yeah, which we kind of figured.
Main Event Mafia.
It's just a matter of whether or not the Main Event Mafia is all guys on the roster or not.
Well, next week,
yeah,
spoiler alert, of course, Samoa Joe joins the Main Event Mafia.
Oh, does he?
Yes.
But he's part of the Bound for Glory series.
He is. He is. But he joins the Main Event Mafia.
Okay, see, I kind of figured those things would be separate.
I guess I kind of did too, but
maybe it plays into an angled Samoa Joe thing in the Bound for Glory series.
Well, Kurt's not in it.
Oh, sorry, not Angle. I mean, Joe
AJ.
Anderson.
Or Anderson. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
That's another thing that they did, though, that I didn't like AJ talking. AJ finally breaks his silence, saying basically what he said before. I'm not here for TNA or Aces and Eights. The only guy I give a shit about is myself.
Exactly.
And it's not tweener. It's pure heel. Which I don't really like. I like the tweener
idea. I did too. The only thing
that's
for sure about Sting is nothing's for sure.
Exactly. And
that's the spirit of what, that's the intent that he should have been providing.
All of a sudden he's just a douchebag heel.
Yeah.
And really,
he's a Daniel Bryan fan. He's on Team DB.
Don't be a DB.
Yeah.
We're a couple. That'll be our New Year's resolution for 2014.
What, for you not to be a DB?
Both of us.
No, I can't commit to that.
But you'll be allowed to be an asshole again.
Oh. So I've got a few months to think about this. I miss being
an
asshole.
It's a big decision.
I miss being an asshole. I'm not going to lie.
Of course.
I'm not going to lie. It's something, you know.
Of course.
I just have, but I do think every time I think about, forget the New Year's resolution, Addy, just be an asshole again. I get emails, I get tweets, I get Facebook.
It's the strength you get from the community.
It is, it really is. It's all the people at WeTalkWrestling.com and things that really, they're pulling me through this, and I thank each and every one of you for
your
support.
You know what they say, it's not one day at a time, it's not 1 hour at a time. It's 1 minute at a time.
It's one inappropriate comment at a time.
Yeah.
And I just haven't been able to make any of those.
No.
And that's...
No, yeah,
you know.
Really, you've been really nice. You haven't insulted anybody unnecessarily.
Asshole!
Goldust, on the other hand.
Yeah, he can be an asshole.
Yeah.
Which I will live vicariously through Goldust, then, I feel.
Yeah.
But, I'm just trying to think of what else. Mickey James... You know, again, as a heel, I mean, very good. I really enjoy that. In terms of spoiler alert, we talked about Samoa Joe. By the way, I love the opening of Impact where it's like Sting walking down the ramp for 2 minutes. And then they replayed it later.
Yes, yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, well.
But I like
there's a point where I think it was on Raw. It might have been the paper.
Oh,
I think it was Raw. where
Vince, that's a quick cut.
Yeah, that's a quick cut where Vince gave the directions. When yeah, that's a quick cut after it was Stephanie and.
Listen to me. Hunter says, listen to me. Vince says, listen to me. And then they leave. Steph says, no, listen to me. And then you hear, oh, that's a quick cut.
Yeah, and then they made a cut.
And then Maddox is walking away and the heel turning to the camera or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a TNA WCW moment on WWE television.
Cut. Yeah, that was awesome. Exactly. I do enjoy, though, that we don't have to listen to what Jeff Hardy thinks anymore.
Fuck. Yeah, worst. That's a Russell Kraft better get on that fucker.
Was that this year? Was that 2013? Or was that 12?
I think that was 2013.
Okay.
That was after he won the belt, wasn't it?
But he won the belt in 12.
Yeah,
late
he won
12,
the belt
October.
Late 12, so maybe it started there.
Okay. Because that's, like, worst thing of the year.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we didn't notice it a lot this year. Maybe we did and I forgot. But anyway, with the spoiler for next... by the way, I was talking about Main Event Mafia.
I mean, the thing was Jeff was off TV for a while. Too, so.
That's true. I like, though, with this Main Event Mafia,
yeah.
How the whole point of the Main Event Mafia, as per Sting's promo, was that he was fighting Bully Ray,
mm-hmm.
and the Aces and Eights helped him,
mm-hmm.
helped Bully Ray, all beat the shit out of Sting.
And nobody came out.
Nobody came out and helped him.
And everybody
nobody on the
that.
Roster came out and helped him. So now the Main Event Mafia... It's Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe, two guys that didn't come out and help them.
Yeah, but they didn't have any reason to, technically, yet. They hadn't committed to helping him.
I know, I'm just saying.
Know,
it's
I
like,
know,
you know what I mean? Like, the whole point was, you guys all turned your back on me, so I got to get my own group. And
yeah.
So the first two people I pick are two of the people that didn't come down and help me.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Like, it should have been, those should have been the two guys that did, and that made it for the easy thing, right? Nobody came out with Joe and Kurt.
Well,
you know what I mean?
All going to be guys in the
I know,
room,
I'm
right?
just saying. Well, it is all going to be guys. I just thought, you know, but that would have been the thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, but it's looking like the meet the new Main Event Mafia is the same as the old Main Event Mafia, because so far the three guys are the same. Next week, spoiler alert, too, we talked about Joe, new X Division champion.
Oh, really? I didn't even see that.
As we lead into Destination X, July, well, here's the thing. I'll spell this out for you. You haven't heard.
Yeah.
July 17th, right, mm-hmm. Destination X Live Impact, okay,
mm-hmm.
is going to then be the choice of the X Division champion to cash in or not.
Yes.
Right? Against Bully Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chris Sabin was all set to cash.
Yeah.
Right? He kind of
said
that. All set to cash. Well, now, Suicide beats.
But they did have Chris Sabin say, "Will I give up this for that? I worked so hard even to get to this point. I don't know." He did cut that promo.
He did cut the promo, but I'm pretty sure that he was leaning.
He was leaning towards cutting.
Suicide,
who doesn't speak,
beats Chris Sabin
mm-hmm.
to win the X Division title. Suicide's music, whatever the fuck it is, plays.
Mm-hmm.
Stops. All of a sudden, you hear pa 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 pa. Hogan comes out
mm-hmm.
with T.J. Perkins, who's been jumped in the back.
Who's been playing Suicide.
And Suicide runs through the Aces and Eights entrance. Runs away through the Aces and Eights entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Show's done. Or, I don't know if show goes up there, but that was it for the explanation.
That's a tease.
So, whoever it is, Garrett or Wes or whoever's under the Suicide... I mean, it didn't even have to be that night, but someone with Suicide, Aces and Eights
yeah,
basically...
Yeah, maybe that night it wasn't, but...
So now, basically, the story is Aces and Eights has the X title and the world title, so they've essentially fucked Destination X.
Well, basically, right now, the storyline is so that person won't, and then they do. You know, type deal? They won't protect the title, and then they do, or if they don't cash it in Destination X, does that ruin the stipulation? Because 1 year, eventually, you have to, if you keep doing it, you have to have the guy not cash in.
I think they think they're being clever.
But that is the other question, though, is do you have him lose it again back? Like, because he's got to defend the title, too, between now and July 17th, I would imagine. One more set of tapings before that night.
Yes, you do. Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. So...
don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
You got a little bit. You got a few weeks to get there, but that's
just dropping those lids in the.
Yeah.
And that makes a great sound off my mic. Then when we drop the metal lids onto the beer.
Plinko. There you go.
Beautiful.
What? But no, I think that. Yeah, you got a few weeks to get there, so maybe Saban wins it back. Maybe, I don't know, you unveil next week.
It's just it depends on where they go with it. Or, yeah, I mean, who knows?
Well, this is taped going to air on, what, the 27th of June. So then on July the 4th, fuck me, on the 4th of July, live Impact.
Oh, yeah.
So no one's watching that.
Yeah.
And then you've got the 11th of July then, and then you've got whatever it is. And I said the 17th. It might be the 18th then, I guess. So if you got four, then it would be the 18th.
Yeah.
Is Destination X. So you've got literally, what, four shows in between? You got the win, and then you got three more shows to...
Or, you know what, but also you can do whatever it is. I mean, I would just imagine Garrett.
Yeah, Garrett more than Wes, for sure. And Wes wouldn't fit in a mask with all that fucking hair anyway.
Yeah, I would think Garrett is just kind of the better guy to have it, if he doesn't cash it in. And then, Ken Anderson wins Bound for Glory, and they think he's not going to cash it, and then he does, type deal. But to tell you the truth, they're really building towards Knox, or Doc.
Doc and Anderson, who should be
Luke
the...
Yeah, Luke Gallows being the guy who might split.
Well, there was always the talk that Anderson... Was the mole?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
That he went in, you know, to implode them from within.
Yeah.
So you've got that ability as well. Ken Anderson of Bully Ray, Bound for Glory.
You know what? They could build it as much as they want. End of the day, it's still Ken Anderson. I just can't really get behind Ken Anderson on anything. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
Steve Anderson.
Ken Anderson and Doc. Sure, why not? Undercard match. Why? I don't hate it, but don't push him.
No.
I don't know.
That's a weird. Now, there's also NXT spoilers, which I also didn't look at. Did you look at any of those? Anything interesting?
No.
No.
I think I looked at them and nothing stood out to me. Yeah, nothing really stood out.
When did the Wyatt family debut? Are we going to see it tomorrow? Because on SmackDown,
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Monday.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I was like, okay, sorry, continue.
Just because the video they played on SmackDown was a different feel than the ones they had played previously. It was a much faster...
More Bray Wyatt. All Bray Wyatt talking, though, right?
Yelling.
Yeah.
Not soft at all anymore. Yelling, faster pace, fast, louder, heavier, harder, quicker music, faster cuts.
And then, we're coming.
Yeah, and it felt like that was, like, everything was a slow build. Like, this was the...
Now he's angry.
Yeah, now he's here.
I think maybe you do it after Money in the Bank, though. I haven't heard the yelling one yet, to be honest. SmackDown's sitting on my PBR.
Yeah.
But Raw, you do the yelling one, right?
Well, they generally do two a week.
They do. I know. It's
one on
each
show.
Great.
They replay the... They replay the Raw one, and then they do a new one on SmackDown.
This is the new one on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So, there you go. I mean, I just...
Then they replay that one on Raw. Usually Raw sometimes will have two as well. How many times is too much for the anticipation? Like, you have to pull the trigger when it says Zenith. If they just keep waiting and keep doing it,
right.
It's going to be too much.
I think you're fine. I think you could debut them at any time.
When is Money in the Bank?
14th. That's too far. I think it's too far. Oh, how many
three shows.
How many Damien Sandows did they get?
Yeah, ADR was around forever.
Yeah. I remember the first time I stopped, we were watching SmackDown for an Alberto Del Rio promo, and you were like, just fast-forward this, because you thought it was a Linda McMahon campaign promo.
Yeah.
When it showed, like, the really rich house with the staircase, like, we don't need to see this bullshit. I'm like, you haven't seen this guy yet. You're like, what?
Yeah.
He's a wrestler. I thought it was Linda McMahon campaign promo.
Yeah, really. Because
it was on Connecticut TV that we were watching.
Yeah.
The whatever My Network TV or whatever.
Yeah, it had that look. Campaign commercial. So I mean, I think that's too many Raws. I think that's too much to hold off. I think you got to debut them before Money in the Bank.
And I don't think it matters.
I can give the first match at Money in the Bank. So
in the pre-show.
Oh, maybe.
Or the opener.
It doesn't matter.
He beat Zack Ryder.
Well, I mean, he doesn't wrestle in the first match. I mean, the first match is the tag team, right?
Yeah, I guess it doesn't. Yeah, you could do that.
It's a Rowan and...
yeah, so they beat the Usos.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, the Usos or Zack Ryder and whoever he's jobbing with that week.
Santino. Is Santino still around?
Yeah, something like that.
Is he hurt?
I don't know.
I've seen Santino in forever. That's why it's...
Yeah. Who knows?
And Sin Cara, you're right. Yeah, that's
yeah,
good.
Just do something like that. Yeah. That's what I do.
Gabriel, you know.
But I debut them tomorrow. Because if you have a sense that you have momentum coming off last week and Brock Lesnar and a better pay-per-view and whatever, and you then strike while the iron is hot. Well, there's a little momentum. Give us one more reason to get excited.
Yeah.
And I just don't think those videos, I feel like the videos have played out, and I feel like...
Who's his first program with?
His first program?
Or yeah, his first program. It also depends on what you want to do. If you want to have the team with the mouthpiece, or is Bray the feature?
Well, on NXT, they've done both.
Exactly. And so do you keep doing that?
Yes.
I think the first match is Bray.
Or is the first match a six-man? No, I don't think so.
Maybe. Actually, they probably would. Actually, they probably would debut them in the six. That makes sense. Because the thing is, you get into, and this is WWE, the fear that I get into is that you debut as a tag team, then the way that they think about some of that stuff is that it just becomes natural, and Bray becomes the manager instead of the feature.
I don't think they're going to do that.
I hope they, but they get into that complacency mode sometimes.
They
too,
do,
right?
They do. I just don't see that happening. But yeah, I mean, who's the first guy? You want an upper mid-card guy? Like, to beat who he looks good against?
SummerSlam.
But who, not too high up, right?
Who does he fight at SummerSlam?
I have his first single match on Raw.
Yeah.
To debut that he doesn't just manage, but then I don't have him have another singles match until a SummerSlam. And then SummerSlam, I don't know. Like, who's Ray. If Ray's back, Ray's the guy for me.
Actually, that's a good one. That's a good one. And then you read to...
I'm like, who's a guy who people could see as an upper mid-carder? Well, I'm like, well, Miz was in the WrestleMania main event, and he's a babyface, but I can't get too excited about that.
I couldn't either, but I could do that. I could deal with him beating Miz. Actually, you know what? Unfortunately, I think Miz is later.
Maybe, yeah.
Because he's been around.
Yeah.
There's also the first ever Undisputed Champion.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jericho is in prime put Bray Wyatt over mode. But I think it's the program.
It's the program, yeah.
Is Bray Wyatt. Oh my God, he beat Rey Mysterio one and done.
No.
You know? No. Which is what that would be.
Yeah. As you both drink beer
at the same time. I was just thinking that way. We put the beer bottles to our mouth, almost like sequentially here, but... but I think that Bray Wyatt, is, I'm ready for him.
Yeah, it's time. It's time for them to do it. So I hope it's tomorrow night. We'll see. I hope it's tomorrow. I think that tomorrow's the right time. Because you are getting to that point.
Yeah.
And I don't think he just comes, the thing about him is, I don't think he just comes out and does a promo. He has to be interrupting somebody in the middle of a promo. He has to be interrupting Christian.
That's what, Christian.
Christian.
Yes. Done.
Because Christian was attacked by the Shield on SmackDown.
Yeah.
No, that's perfect. Interrupting Christian. And then Christian eventually finds two guys to be...
You're right. And actually, that's what led me to Jericho in my mind, is because he said, because I was thinking they should interrupt. And I'm thinking, well, Jericho interrupted The Rock. And I thought, well, they could do Jericho.
Interrupt
and actually, if you
Christian.
Want to come... I would actually interrupt Chris Jericho if you want to come full circle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that works.
Jericho's in the ring as this big star, and Bray Wyatt, this new up-and-comer, comes in and interrupts him.
Yeah.
Why not, right?
Yeah. So, either, like, that works.
Ooh.
That works.
You eating rotten eggs over there?
How do you feed your dog?
For food. I don't know. He ate a...
Switch.
He ate a pencil crayon earlier, so that might be it.
Aren't people who usually eat pencils, crayons, special?
Yeah. He licks windows, too.
Where do they sit on the bus?
Huh? It doesn't really matter. It's so short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is he a John Cena fan?
He is a huge John Cena fan. Mm. Let's go, Rena.
All right. So we have.
Did you hear about it? Speaking of John Cena.
More Fruity Pebbles.
More fucking Fruity Pebbles shit. Like, that guy. Like, again, The Rock. The Rock says one thing.
Yes.
And look at the fucking millions.
Yes.
And millions of dollars that this thing has generated.
I know.
Like, this is unbelievable.
I know.
I mean, like, you get that. We laugh all the time about Hunter and his I Am the Game, and how we had to drive it into our fucking heads, and he goes, yeah. Oh, it's just something I said once. But this Fruity Pebbles thing is something he said once.
I know.
And, like, we're at the Royal Rumble, and they had the Fruity Pebbles thing where you could get Fruity Pebbles at the Royal Rumble, like, free box of Fruity Pebbles, little thing with milk, and they were serving you that for free.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck. Like,
yeah.
They're going to do a Flintstones, we talked about last week, a Flintstones cartoon. It's like Hanna-Barbera, so they're doing the Scooby-Doo WrestleMania thing. It's not Flintstones, but it's all tied in. And now John Cena is going to be on the box permanently of Pebbles. Like, this
it's crazy, huh?
And the commercials.
Yes. Gonna
that's the thing. Now the commercials are John Cena beating the shit out of Fred Flintstone to take show him taking him off the box, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean,
and it's one of the reasons why you don't like Cena. Because everything just seems too easy to... Everything's too easy for John Cena. Life just seems too good.
It really does. It really does.
It seems like you have horseshoes, and that's, you know...
Fucking Bellas.
Yeah.
Total Divas. It's coming. 1 month away.
Yay.
Hooray. Speaking of which, we could have Zack Ryder on next week. He said he's going to have a
show. Yeah.
But I mean, the Bellas, though, they're going to be totally... Slap!
That was uncalled for.
It was. Which one? Oh! Okay.
Thanks, Bulba.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rawls.
What about Dixie Carter? What's he
doing?
Gun! What?
Gun!
Okay.
Wow. Fuck, Russo!
What?
Fuck, Russo!
Oh, but you mean seven. You're talking about seven?
Fire
is
up.
Oh.
That was stupid.
Seven. What about when he was in TNA, though? What was the name of the character again that he had his TNA and we had the rat and stuff?
Oh, fucking Black Rain.
Black Rain, yeah. Goldust, what do you think of Black Rain and Russo there?
Still have the coke.
What?
Still have the coke.
Oh, you're doing lots of coke then. Okay.
So it was like White Rain, really.
Yeah, huh. That really was.
Yeah, huh.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard I snorted there. Fuck Russo. No. Mick Foley. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, Mick Foley agrees. I don't think he's a fan of Russo.
That was great. We did have, do you think we should just end the show? Or we did get a Twitter question.
Is it a long question or not?
No, it's a rather short
question. Let's do that,
question.
And then we're going to go record some live audio commentary to fill content. I mean, to fill
time.
Audio.
We need to fill some time, because quite frankly, here's the deal, folks. I am going out of town to British Columbia, Canada, next week, so I won't I will personally not be available to be on a show. I'm coming back into town sometime the following Thursday. Which means that we may not also do a show, so we may have a promo show or something in there. The following week, though, fuck, I'll be here. So,
and that's when we're getting gearing up for
Money in the Bank. It'll be the Money in the Bank go home show.
We'll have Money in the Bank preview and maybe a Money in the Bank post show.
We're watching Money in the Bank.
I get a half prong.
We're watching. I mean,
we're watching that, but meanwhile, we'll need some audio to fill the content. We're going to do a live audio commentary here, one, two of them.
Then,
you know, exactly, a promo show. We're going to get some other shit, though.
Then, meanwhile,
afterwards,
I'm actually going to be, then we're going to do Money in the Bank shows there. We'll probably do one more show. Then I could be in Las Vegas. For a while, and so it's gonna be.
You're gonna get some other bonus.
To make a short story long, we're gonna have a fucked up July here on We Talk Wrestling.
But we're gonna have some great shit though.
Yeah, we got some.
If you like that DX panel, and if you didn't listen to the DX live
we're
DX
have a
panel,
WCW panel,
Rumble, and we have we have that and the Bret Hart panel.
Still. Yeah,
Bret Hart and Sean Screwjob panel with the King as well. So
King,
we
Jerry
have that. We have some promo shows. We like to do live audio commentary too.
Yeah,
we're gonna be good. We're gonna give you good shit, and who knows, maybe I'll just get on and ramble on and on at some point if I feel like it.
Yeah, sorry about that in advance.
Yeah, this time I won't breathe right into the mic.
Really?
Huh. Well, I am out of breath.
It's true.
Tied my shoes.
Brian Christopher.
All right. So, anyways, Twitter question, real quick.
Yeah, Twitter question. Actually, it was very quick and easy. I just thought, what were our thoughts and who were some of our favorite WCW luchadors? I guess it must come off the heels of Triple Mania, maybe, and some of these guys. And of course, the death of Hector Garza. We talked about not a huge WCW luchador that I would think of in that. But some of the guys. I mean, we know about Rey Mysterio, right?
Yeah.
We know how great La Parca was.
La Parca was, well, yeah, I mean, he was pretty good.
Over and great. I mean, yeah. The chairman of WCW and had
pretty
his
good,
dance.
Pretty good. His dance was pretty funny. You know, and the thing about him is, the cream really did rise to the top. So, I mean, Juventud Guerrero,
yeah,
the Youth Juice, Warrior. Youth Warrior, he was great.
Yeah.
And him and Psychosis and Ray. Were the
Psychosis,
the luchadors that carried that show, you know,
yeah.
As far as for most of the time there, and they're the three that gave me the best matches and I enjoyed the most. So, I mean, those are the first three I think of, right?
Yeah, the one guy that I did think I liked that never got the push that I thought was really good was Super Kolo.
Super Kolo was good. Silver King, I think Silver King's the name of.
Yeah, so yeah. Well, Silver King and El Dandy,
yeah.
Were managed by Stacy Keibler, Miss Hancock, right?
Yeah.
Los Fabulosos.
Yeah, and I like Silver King. El Dandy was good too. I mean,
well, who are you to doubt El Dandy?
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
El Dandy was always great. Well, he just looked like a midget. Like he wasn't, but he looked like a midget.
Yes. So I mean that's kind of. I mean, but again, I mean, I'm going to look at those three as the three that...
I'm trying to think of the other guys. It was like, there was a Ciclope, there was Damien and Halloween.
I was actually like both of them.
Yeah, I did too. Was it Halloween that was the one that Dean Malenko dressed up as, that wore the thing for that
was,
one,
yeah. Yeah, for the Battle Royal.
Was that for the Cruiserweight Battle Royal? Did
yeah,
they do
so,
that?
Yeah. With Jericho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, trying to think of any other guys that they brought. The Vianos, I never was a fan of.
No.
Viano 4 and 5, and I just the red outfits and very generic. And
I
thought these are like your conquistadors, basically.
Yeah. Heavy Metal there, or was he in
WWF? He was WWF. Yeah.
Okay. Latin Lover was WWF.
Yes.
I mean, again, it's like Ultimo Guerrero was not. A luchador, technically.
Ultimo Dragon, you mean?
Ultimo Dragon, sorry.
Yeah.
Ultimo Dragon was not a luchador, but he actually spent a lot of time in Mexico, so he had a very lucha style to him.
I would kind of consider him. I mean,
yeah,
in that thing, and of course he was great. I mean, you know.
He was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he just needed to lose the mask because he was quite good looking. Fuck.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, and then.
He was actually up for a part in Three's Company. Did you know that?
No.
He was going to play Jack Tripper.
Good. Yeah, he fell at WrestleMania twice.
WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
No.
Too bad, we're going to ruin his career. He spent his whole career really wanting to wrestle in Madison Square Garden, gets there and does that.
Man.
Yeah, it's too bad because
he was beside himself.
Yeah.
But,
you know, that's another guy, though. I mean, he was in the WWE. He was mainly probably most famous for ECW. He wasn't in WCW, but... you know, he did look like a bumblebee, but crazy.
Oh, crazy, yes.
Fucking great.
Yes, he was great.
Yeah.
Well, it's having to WWF. I mean, that's when he was Bumblebee Man, right? And it's just like, But there was, I think of, what's their names? I mean, they're not considered the luchadors, per se, but, I mean, the Guerreros. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, not so much Eddie.
Not
so much Eddie. But he's a leader.
Yeah.
But not so much Eddie.
No.
But Chavo was in that.
Yeah, Chavo was much more in that mix.
Chavo came in with the rest of the AAA guys, really, right?
Yeah.
So, and then he may be, other than Ray, probably the most successful.
But really, when I look back at the cruiserweight division of WCW, first guys to go to Psychosis, Humberto Guerrero, Uli, the Youth Warrior, one of my favorite nicknames of all time, actually.
Yeah.
And Ray, obviously. Kidman, Dean Malenko.
Yes.
Ultimo Dragon. Those are the first six I think of.
Do you really?
Yes.
You don't think of Jericho in there?
No, because I still don't think of him as a cruiserweight, really.
Yeah, I think of Jericho.
I don't think of Jericho in there. I don't think of Eddie in there. I don't think of Benoit in there, even though all of them had...
Well, Benoit was that light heavyweight cruiserweight originally. I don't think of Benoit in there because he
Jericho had a long run in there, but that was after he
so
won.
Did, I mean, I think of Eddie and Ray at Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, I know. You know, but those aren't the guys I think of.
Jericho taking
a
Uri.
Division for me.
I think Jericho... I think of... I'll tell you who I think of then, I guess. I think of Ray Malenko.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Uvi.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was Jericho...
Ultimo Dragon?
Yeah, Ultimo...
I called him Ultimo Guerrero again, but...
But
Ultimo
I think of Jericho against Malenko,
mm-hmm.
Jericho against Uvi, and Jericho against Ray.
Mm-hmm.
I think of that as being probably one of my favorite stretch outside of Malenko and Ray.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Malenko and Ray, and it really was Ultimo Dragon who was the third...
Ultimo Dragon, yeah, he was the guy, yeah, and he was always...
like a three-way...
He was always a surprise to me.
Yeah.
Is that it was like, oh, no, he's not going to win, even though he's got, like, eight belts on him.
Yeah.
Right? The J-Cup, or whatever it was, the,
yeah.
You know.
Super J-Cup.
Super J, yeah, and he had the nine, eight belts on him that became nine.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no, he's not going to win. And he did. I was like, oh, shit. But, and even Alex Wright, you know, come in and it was in that mix for a bit, and it was like, oh, fuck, I didn't think he won, too. I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, Disco Inferno held it too. So
yeah, but not during that time.
No,
like,
but he did challenge in a great match. I believe it was at the Bash of the Beach. He challenged
Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko.
That was
a
great
match.
He
thought was going to suck, and it was just awful.
And
because you have this total sports entertainment guy and this total pure wrestler, you didn't think they were going to.
Yeah, you know what made it?
It totally worked.
Yeah, you know why it totally worked? Two people, and it wasn't either one of them. Dusty Rhodes and Larry Zbysko. Calling that match.
Helps a lot. You're right.
That made the mess. They told the story.
Told
I mean,
the
guys told the story in the ring, but they articulated the story. And Tony Giovanni just kind of stood around going,
yeah.
But, you know, this is the greatest night in the history of our sport. But, you know, but they set the stage of that. And actually, so did Heenan. I think it was Heenan and Dusty.
It wasn't
Larry. Because that wasn't that not the match? Was that not Bash the Beach 96?
Yeah, that was Bash the Beach.
Yeah, that was the night.
Of the NWO.
So it was Heenan and Dusty then.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And they did, you're right.
They told the story.
That this guy, he didn't even think he was good enough to challenge for the belt. All of a sudden found himself about to win, couldn't believe it, and couldn't help but act like a fool.
But then stopped.
As he realized he had a shot.
And they're in disbelief.
Yeah.
Dusty's going, that's a mistake, when he's hot-shotting. Heenan's going, no, I love the hot-shotting, to get a baby face and a heel, right? And it was great.
Yeah.
And I mean, Dean Malenko have a great match with this beer bottle here.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
He would shove it somewhere.
He would.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a Dean Malenko match last week at some point. I'm trying to remember who it was. I forgot how good he was.
Oh, he's awesome. He was awesome.
Yeah.
He's, today, the guy that reminds me of him is Austin Aries.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Aries reminds me a lot.
A lot.
In the ring.
Yeah. It's that's right. Same, kind of that.
Same size, same kind of build, and same kind of moveset and athleticism. And he doesn't hit the high fly moves all the time. But he can when he needs to, and when he does, they look great.
You know who Austin Aries actually reminds me of is Heath Slater.
He's fucking money?
Well, just when he went up to Christie.
Yeah.
Enough of that.
Now I need a Mark Merrill.
Oh, wild man. But, all right. Well, that was a question, so I thought it was about luchadors. We end up with Dean Malenko, but still,
okay.
Great talk about WCW Cruiserweights. Cause, it's just something
that... Vintage Cruiserweight Month.
What? Is it coming up on Cruiserweight Month, though?
Yeah.
This was Underdog
Month. I think that's what they said.
I thought you're right. They did. I think you're actually right. Renee Young, did they say, give an explanation for why Renee wasn't there?
She was too devastated from the things that Paul Heyman said to her on SmackDown.
Really?
Do you know what he said to her?
No, did you see that? I didn't see it.
She has an interview, and she goes and asks him about CM Punk and why he does it.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, do you like, what about, why don't we talk about, well, you broke up a couple months ago with your husband. Remember your fiancé? You and your fiancé, you didn't marry him, he left you. Remember that? That's personal, right? You don't like to talk about your personal stuff on here? You know, me and CM Punk, we're friends. We're not business relationships, so it's personal. Remember your relationship with your father? Remember the things he did to you? Do you remember that stuff?
Really?
Yeah, he's like, do you remember that stuff? No, you don't like that stuff. This is a matter of public record, isn't it? What happened all those years ago when he was during Christmas? It's a matter of public record, but you don't like to talk about it, right? It's personal, right? So that's me and CM Punk. He's just like,
he's so great.
Yeah.
He's so great.
Yeah.
That's a great promo. But, hey, watch it now.
We're
watching that right after we're done recording
it. Thought of me, that we could see him.
We're watching that right after this.
He just, like, obliterated
that. And so that really honestly was on Vintage? That was the story?
No. That's, like, could be. But, yeah.
He didn't say anything then.
No.
I fast forward usually through the Gene stuff and just get to the first match.
I found out
it was Matt Hardy against Zach Gowen, and I continued to fast forward.
No, it was a good match, man.
It was a good match. I know.
Really funny.
But, wellness policy, too, with Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
I know.
He was jacked.
Yeah.
And, of course, wellness policy with Zach Gowen. You know, because I'm watching him, and I'm going, Christ, if he hadn't had his problems, you could have, as an underdog, really gotten a lot of publicity with this guy.
Yeah. Well, Zach Gowen is just the kind of guy that could have got you the leg up on a competition.
So we're OUT.
Is that it? We're done?
I'm going to go get me one of those strawberry-flavored mud shakes.
Okay, well, we're about to walk over there so we can watch the live audio commentary.
Yeah, but I don't want to be in the same room with you anymore.
What?
All right, go ahead.
Jesus. All right, so we're WeTalkWrestling.com, of course. iTunes. Yeah, it's on iTunes. Thank you very much for everybody that... We've got a lot of recent subscribers to iTunes, and we thank you very much for that. So if you're not, please go subscribe. iTunes, wonderful. Add some comments and feedback. We love it all good, of course. Stitcher. You can get us on Stitcher on your mobile application there. That's wonderful. What else do we do? Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com. That's how this Cruiserweight question come through. Sorry, and it was from John322. I should have mentioned that. So thank you very much, John, for the question. And Twitter, at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter, and Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. So you can get us all over the worldwide motherfucking web. So that's going to do it then. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, Goldust, thanks for showing up. You really added a lot to the show.
Hey, guys, it's a purple.